The Holy Gospel this Maundy Thursday comes from the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Glory to you, Lord.
Please be seated. In the night in which he was betrayed, you kind of begin to think past that statement, don't you? In the night in which he was betrayed, you know what comes next. You know the words that come next. I say them often enough. But in the night in which he was betrayed, I wonder exactly how much Jesus himself was wondering. I wonder if maybe Jesus was wondering and pondering over his own legacy. I wonder how much he was pondering what would come next, how his disciples might respond, and if they would indeed keep his commandment to love one another. I wonder these things because when we look back at our lives that we have lived, I often think that we ask ourselves questions based on legacy. Did we make the world a better place? Have we raised our families to build a better world, to love one another and to love God as well? I think it's natural, as Jesus is closing in on these final moments, that he too might be considering these questions. And for Jesus, his followers are pretty much his family. Has he taught them enough? Has he shown them the way to live a life that would please God? Will they understand the work that he has done when he is gone? And the answer, if we know the disciples well enough, is probably not. The disciples are so consistent in not getting it, in going left when they are supposed to go right, that I wouldn't blame Jesus if he were a little bit skeptical of what might happen after he's gone. But Jesus doesn't lord his superiority over his disciples this evening. He doesn't claim to be that much better. He doesn't browbeat them into submission to do what he says. Instead, Jesus chooses another path. Instead of just speaking of the path he wishes his disciples to follow, instead of just teaching, Jesus now teaches by showing them. Jesus shows them humility. Jesus shows them self-sacrificing love. But the point of this isn't just the humility. It isn't just to show them this. Jesus makes it clear to them, I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Jesus is setting expectations. Jesus is setting a standard. And we know, ultimately, that the disciples are probably going to fall short. They aren't Jesus. They can't be Jesus. But still, Jesus is setting this example. He sets an example because for Jesus, these disciples are his legacy. They are the ones who are tasked with carrying on his message of God's love, of bringing good news to all people. And yet it goes beyond that. Jesus isn't just setting an example for his disciples. He's setting an example for all who would come after. Christ brings forth for all of us this day a new commandment, one that we have heard so many times over again, but one which never seems to stick for us. Love one another. Obviously, this commandment is meant for disciples who are about to be challenged by the loss of their teacher. It's meant for people who are about to face their greatest crisis of faith. And Christ tells them to love one another. He's telling them to rely on each other, to stick together, even if they only want to slink into the dark toward home. But more than that, this commandment is for us as well. Love one another. Just as Christ loved his disciples to the point of humbling himself before them, love one another. Just as Christ loved his disciples to the point where he would refuse to let them be harmed for his sake, love one another. Because this is the legacy that Christ leaves for his disciples tonight, and his disciples thus leave for us. We are called, all of us, we are called, despite disagreements, despite despair and loss, to live this new commandment, to be a part of this legacy of love. On this night of betrayal, on this night of loss, we are indeed invited once again to remember our Lord. We remember not only in pain and in doubt, but also in hope. We remember the legacy that he leaves for us, the commandment that he gives us. And as we hear his words and obey his call to love one another, we find that the legacy of God's grace through Jesus Christ is still alive. For we, right here in this place, are Christ's legacy. We are proof of the love given to us despite all betrayals. May we be willing to humble ourselves. May we be willing to admit that we don't always have it all right. And may we remember our Lord this day and every day by living out the example that he has set before us. For today, the only commandment that matters is love. Because through the love of Christ, we are given a chance to reflect this love, bearing witness to all that Christ Jesus has done for us. Through the love that we reflect, we now pass on Christ's legacy to those that we meet. a legacy that is designed not for our own sakes, but for the sake of a world that we are always called to serve, honoring and remembering the grace given to us in Christ our Lord. We love, not because we got it all right, but because Christ got it right for us. Amen.